frame here, and then we can move this inside. We're not going to melt, praise the Lord. Lord's good to us. I am so thrilled to be here and honored, amen. And I am certainly glad that I am saved by the good grace of God, amen. But for Jesus, I wouldn't be here, amen. I can guarantee you that. And it is just a blessing to be in this place and to think here in the middle of this countryside, amen, that we can have an old-fashioned meeting and worship the Lord and preach His Word. We certainly got a lot to be thankful for still. We could live in a country, amen, where you couldn't meet publicly. We'd have to slip in one by one, groups, somewhere to meet with the people of God. But we still are able to publicly assemble ourselves amongst the people of God. And I thank God for that, amen. God's been good to us. Our family was resting this afternoon, and we was able to get a little bit of rest, and then tried to get up and tried to spend time with the Lord. Just don't worry about that. That'll be fine, amen. And I got looking around, amen. Looking around at my wonderful wife the Lord has given me, and looked in on my kids. Brother Morey, I just thank the Lord for how good He's been to me. God has been so good to us. Give us a good wife. Give us some wonderful children. Amen. Kids, I want to see the Lord work in your heart during these days. I can remember a few years ago there that we were in meeting actually here at this church. And I know that the Lord specifically dealt with one of my daughters. And I don't know if she still made peace with God, but I know one thing. I know God dealt with her during that service. And she could have got right with God. But you know, it's going to take the Lord to do the work. He's the Savior. He's the one that's the Savior. So I trust that we'll come with an open heart toward the things of God. I appreciate each and every one of you being here. We trust that we can say something this week that will be a help and a blessing to you. Isaiah chapter 59 tonight. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. The Word of God. Looking here, a lot of times when I've brought a couple of Bibles with me to the pulpit, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. So I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. Amen. Yes. Let's stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God if you're physically able to do so. Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." What's the problem? "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Father, thank you, Lord, for this another privilege that, Lord, you've given us to open up the Bible and preach the Word of God. Lord, I'm amazed, Lord, in a place like this, that, Lord, the arbor and the tent could be practically full and people sitting out in chairs, Lord, in the lawn. Lord, I pray if it be your will that, Lord, you would prevent any hindrances, whether it be the weather or the devil's or own spirit, from, Lord, being a distraction, Lord, during this meeting tonight. And Lord, I don't know if we'll have the other days of meetings, because Jesus could come back tonight, and we that are saved could all be called out, and this could be the very last service that we'd ever participate in. So Lord, I pray that, Lord, we preach like this is the very last time we'd ever get to preach. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, people would make commitments and decisions in light of that fact. We may never have another opportunity to sit under the Word of God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just might have your will and way. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Save the lost. Revive the saints in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. As we can see this evening, amen, there's many times that the clouds will come in and block out the beautiful sunshine. Now that doesn't alleviate the sun. The sun's still there. Somewhere up behind them clouds, amen, the sun's still shining. I can see on the horizon there. But you cannot see the evidence of the sun because the clouds have come and blocked out that sunshine. The Bible relates to us that sin has hid the very glory of God. God's hand's not shortened, His ear's not heavy, but it's your sins that's separated between you and your God. If you're going to get right with God, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you're going to have to deal with your sins. Nobody has revival without dealing with sin. Revival efforts have become entertainment today.
Right.
But you're going to have to deal with sin. Down south, amen, we'll have, when they do, they've about quit having revivals, unfortunately, amen. When they do have revival, it seems like it's a bunch of hoopla, amen, and everybody gets stirred up and run the aisles and shout, and nobody repents, and nobody deals with their sin, and nobody gets rid of their sin, and you leave not just the way you came, you leave worse than you came.
Yes, sir, bro.
What we need to do is deal with sin. You that are saved by the grace of God, truthfully, hold some of the keys to this meeting.
That's right.
You're going to have to let God deal with your sin. If you're going to get right with God as a sinner, then it is sin that is the issue. God deals with your sin, even in the Bible. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible says, He will reprove the world of sin. God has a divine order in the Scriptures, and that's what He deals with when He comes and deals in your heart. He reproves you of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. But primarily, sin's the issue, and you're going to have to deal with your sin. And many times in a sinner's heart, God will bring a predominant sin to the forefront. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this, amen. There's no way that anybody that ever got saved could confess all their sins. You couldn't even remember all the sins you did. But whatever God deals with, you're going to have to deal with that. Amen.
I can't believe it.
And listen, friend, when God deals with you about your sin, you're going to have to turn from your way. Turn from your sins. Amen.
Amen.
You and your sins must part.
That's right.
Or you and your Savior will never come
That's
together.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God deals with us about our sins. God deals with us here about what's separating you from God in our text tonight. The Bible says that your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. I'm glad that God still has power in salvation. The Bible talks about His all-powerful hand and His attentive ear. The Lord's hand is not shortened. I'm glad that He reached way down one day, amen, for me, amen. And when the Savior reached way down, the Bible says He inclined unto me. He heard my cry, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was down there in the miry clay, in that cesspool of sin, and thank God, young lady, He was able to reach all the way down to where I was. It doesn't matter where you're at tonight.
That's right, brother. Yes,
there could be all kinds of sins represented under this arbor and under the tent tonight, but I'm glad the Lord's hand is not shortened.
That's right.
That it cannot save. Amen. He can reach down there. The psalmist said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He had brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the mud clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my going, and He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord.
Amen. That's right, brother.
He can reach way down. You say, I've went too far. He can reach way down.
Right. Yes, sir, brother.
You say, you don't know what I've done. He can reach farther still, amen.
Yes, sir.
You say, but listen, I don't know that I've committed sins of a reprobate. If God's dealing with you, listen,
that's
God's
right.
Power
yes,
in salvation
right.
Can go much more, farther beyond our imagination, amen.
Yes,
we live in
sir.
God.
That's right, brother.
Well, God can't save that individual.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, you may not be able to, but God can.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
We had an individual testify in a meeting here not long ago about somebody say, well, they committed reprobate sins, and they've done this, and they've done that. I'm just telling you what she said. She testified that the Lord of glory dealt with her and saved her for Christ's sake. Listen, we don't know the backgrounds of everybody here and what they've been involved in. We don't know the backgrounds of the families, amen. But God can go beyond that.
Yes.
We serve a great God
yes.
That's able
yes.
To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ever ask or think, amen.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
How thankful for the Savior.
God help us.
God's all-powerful hand. The same hand that flung the stars out from His fingertips.
Yes.
The same hand that created all
yes,
this beauty
sir.
In this valley. Amen. Hey, thank God I'm talking about the Creator. Amen.
Yes,
thank God. I'm glad. You say, is He still creating anything? Thank God every day He's creating new creatures
yeah,
in
right.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes,
hey, we live in God. We're talking about the God of all the universe. Amen.
That's right.
Almighty God.
It's good, brother. Yes,
He
sir.
Can reach farther down. Thank God.
Thank
His
God.
Hand's not shortened.
Mm-hmm.
He's not limited in extent or power.
How about that? Yes, sir.
You may be saying, well, I don't know if God can deal with that individual. Amen. Won't you keep your mind on your own people?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you worry about what sins lie at your doorstep? Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. While you're grieving God, amen. God may be I've seen, listen, God the Holy Ghost deal with people, amen. You wouldn't think they was even paying attention, and God dropped down on them and listen, begin to convict them, and they begin to get troubled. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. He's still the Savior. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
God's all powerful hand. God's hand always signifies His power. And so, we see here, amen, that listen, there's nothing impossible with God.
He's the God of impossibility,
amen. He said all power, woo, all
right.
Power
yes, sir.
Is given unto me both in heaven and in earth,
yes,
amen.
Yes,
we're not talking about a figment of man's imagination.
Right.
We're talking about God Almighty, amen.
Yes,
the
sir.
God that spanned the heavens, hallelujah. Listen, thank God. I'm glad He said all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth.
Yes.
Amen. I praise His wonderful name. Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
With God, there's nothing impossible with God. Amen.
That's right.
But I tell you what, he can reach down and stir up a man's heart and stir up a man's soul, son. I don't know. I don't even know half of you, amen, personally. And I don't even know why you're here. And your motives may have not even been right of coming.
That's right.
But I tell you what, you can show up and the Word of God can start stirring in a man's soul and stirring in a man's life. I'm telling you, he has an all-powerful hand.
Yes,
and thank God he's got an attentive ear.
Sure does.
Amen. Amen. Listen, God wants to hear the cry of somebody. They'll say, you say, well, I don't know what to say. Preacher, I'm in a mess. My life's a wreck. My heart's full of sin. Amen. Here would be a good start. Amen. Why don't you just stop and say, help! Help, Lord!
Yes, sir, brother.
Exactly.
Help.
Right. Help us. Amen.
Yes, amen.
I'm glad God's got an attentive ear.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I'm glad the Bible said this poor man cried and the Lord heard him.
Yes.
And saved him out of all his troubles. Amen.
Yes.
Ain't you glad that God still hears the cries of desperate people?
Yes, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Your heart may be in turmoil. Your mind may be a mess. I talked with an individual. Listen, I'm not trying to throw off. Listen, some of you know. But listen, people have got so involved in sin and their mind has been a wreck and their mind has been altered. Amen. But listen, I don't want to limit God, dear brother. God can reach farther down. And I long to hear somebody, that we may think that God can't deal with and God can't work. Amen. But God has an attentive ear.
Yes, sir.
Right. The Lord's hand's not shortened that it cannot save, and the ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. Brother Tim McVeigh and I are both familiar with Brother Albert Hardin from South Carolina. I've known him since I was a boy. And Brother Hardin has always looked like, I seen him last year in a meeting in Kentucky. He's always looked like that. Since I was a boy, he looked that way, amen. And he's 80-some years old. And Brother Hardin, even when I talk to him on the phone, he can't help it. But it's difficult to have a conversation with him because he's hard of hearing. And as far as I know, he's still not got no hearing aids. And see, but I'm glad that God...
But God, that's right. But God.
God's not deaf, amen.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Hardin has a hard time and he'll get on the front row and he'll cup his hand over his ear so he can try to hear the preaching. And unless the preacher is very articulate like Brother Black and not like me, amen, I'm not very articulate,
yes,
amen.
Sir, amen.
Listen, friend, he can't understand what the preacher's even saying. But I'm glad God ain't up there, amen, having to cup his ear.
Right.
He can hear the faintest cry.
That's right, brother.
Thank he can hear a heart cry.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're tired of your way, if you're tired of your path, if you're trodden a broad way that leads to destruction, why don't you cry out to him?
Cry out.
Moan to him. Whatever you can do, get to God.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
There's been times in my Christian life, amen, I couldn't even utter a prayer. You know what I did? I got on my belly and I just groaned.
That's right.
I just groaned. I'm glad God understands that. Amen.
That's right. Sure does.
I'm glad he can sort out all your praying. Amen. And all your heartache. He can sort it out, friend. Hallelujah. Hey, you say, I can't utter a prayer. I've seen sinners broke up so much before. They talk about the sinner's prayer. They couldn't pray. They so broke up. But God understood what they saying.
That's
amen.
Exactly right. Yes, sir.
I may have couldn't understand what they saying, but God could.
Sure did, brother.
You know why he's got an attentive ear?
Yes, sir.
God wants to hear your cry. Hey, there's saints here. It's untelling. You come to this meeting, you're broke up mentally, maybe physically. Listen, your heart's in turmoil. You don't know which way to go. and you say nobody understands, I'm glad there's one that understands. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, I want to say there's a sympathizing Savior. There is a balm in Gilead. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all comfort. Amen. And God can give you the exact balm that'll help you. Amen.
Yes, sir.
There's been times I thought nobody understood. But I'm glad the Lord understands. He understands. He understands where you're at. And He don't get weary, amen, of hearing His children's cry. And I'm going to say this, amen, it may take you by surprise. He don't get weary when I'm willing to repent as a saint of God. He don't get weary of hearing me come and ask for forgiveness.
Right.
That's good, brother.
He ain't never held out on me and said, I ain't forgiving you this time.
Right.
Amen. If you're willing to turn from it and listen, get God's forgiveness, amen, He's willing to hear it.
Right, brother.
Amen. We need some saints, amen, that'll be willing to repent.
Yes, sir.
In the presence of God. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you repented in the presence of God? How about that, young man? When is the last time you got in the presence of God, amen, and asked Him to turn the searchlight on you and show Him what your problem was? You say, I don't have no problems, amen. Listen, we need to stand you up. You're the biggest problem, amen. All of us have got problems. All of us have got sins. Nobody here's arrived, amen. There's been times, amen, I felt that God was a million miles away and it wasn't His fault, amen. It was because my sins and my iniquities have separated between me and my God. When are you going to come clean and just admit you're full of contention and strife and backbiting? And just, I long to see, amen, somebody get it right. And of course, most time, if you're a saint of God, you need to confer with the pastor, amen. Some of that stuff causes more strife than it's worth, amen. He'll know if there needs to be public confession. But I've been in meetings, amen, where people get up and say, you know what? I've been the hindrance to the whole meeting. I've been full of criticism. I've been full of bitterness, amen. I don't like what's being preached here, amen. I'm the problem. It's sad. I don't know if we were married then, amen. At the very end of the meeting, somebody finally confessed and got right with God, amen. And it was at the end of the meeting. You imagine what God could have done, amen, if we got all that and cleaned the gutters out at the first of the meeting?
Yes, sir. Yep. Yes,
sir. Amen. You say, what's my problem? I may not know every problem you have, but if you got sin and iniquities in your life, that's what's separating between you and your God.
I believe it.
But I guarantee you, He's got an all-powerful hand, and He's got an attentive ear, amen, hallelujah, and He can hear your cry, He can hear your groans, He can hear your moans. Years ago, I was in a tent meeting in Boston, Massachusetts. You wouldn't think I'd work up there, amen, but I was in Boston, Massachusetts. Oh, yeah. I had some good meetings up there. I preached 2 meetings a year, amen, for about 5 or 6 years up in Boston. And amen, we was preaching one night, maybe not this message, but along this line, amen. And people began to get up, amen, in the service. And God would deal with them. Some people would think it was confusion, amen. But God had dealt with them. One young lady just threw up her hands and said, I'm lost! I'm lost! I said, just come down here and pray. And I just kept preaching.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, friend. What you need is the Savior.
That's right.
He's the only one that can take care of your sins. It's not the way you live, even though I'm for right living. But if you're trying to eradicate your sins by how you live and what you do, it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Salvation's power. number two, in verses 2-8, we see a sinful problem. A sinful problem. He said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It's not that he cannot hear, he will not hear. If you're not right with God as a saint of God, God don't hear you praying. So if you're not right with the pastor, and I very seldom ever talk to Brother Black, amen. We're not preaching what Brother Black's told me to preach. We're preaching what God told me to preach, amen. But if you're not right with the man of God and you're not right with other brothers or sisters in this church, amen, God ain't hearing your praying. Years ago, I was in a meeting, amen, and there wasn't no liberty that night, and I had no liberty to preach. And I invited my neighbor, and that church was full of contention and strife. They couldn't get along with one another. It was amazing. And I invited my neighbor to come over. I don't even have confidence that he knows the Lord, amen. But he got up that night. I didn't have no liberty to preach. He got up that night and gave him a message, amen. He said, there's a spirit. I'm not kidding you. He said, there's a spirit of Jezebel. He stirred his finger around. There's a spirit of Jezebel on this church. It's the spirit of Jezebel, amen. I tell you, it stirred up everything, amen. I had an older lady I'd preached to for years. She was rebuking me at the end of the meeting and everything. Amen. We had a time. But he told it right. There was a spirit of Jezebel in the meeting. Amen. If you got sin in your life, you're going to have to deal with your sin problem first. Or God's not going to hear your praying. The Bible says your sins and iniquities have hidden God's face from you. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I'll hear you. Amen. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Yes, I don't see much confession and forsaking anymore. Well, that's right, people want to hold on to all the sins they can hold on to. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Down south they want to go half naked and think God's going to send them a meeting. In fact, we got several preachers down there, amen, that preach everywhere, and they go around half naked. God ain't going to bless that, friend.
That's right, brother.
Amen. If you don't get nothing else, amen. Thank God. Get some. Hey, you ain't gonna be too modest.
Yeah.
That's good.
Amen,
amen brother. Yes, amen. Right. Listen, thank God, amen. Some people want to advertise.
Uh-huh. Right.
Amen.
And
what's the problem? What's between me and God? Amen. It's all this nakedness. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Everybody all right?
Yes, sir. Preach it,
brother. All right, amen.
Yeah, preach it, brother.
We hallelujah.
Yes, sir, we need it.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Yep.
You say, well, that ain't gonna get nobody saved, amen. Listen, friend, this Bible's full of thou shalt not, amen. Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
And by the way, God don't give anybody the right to commit adultery.
Right.
We preach sometimes that sinners get a pass.
Right.
Uh-oh.
That's right, brother. Uh-huh.
God don't give nobody a pass.
Sure don't.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
God don't give nobody a pass to get drunk, smoke dope, medicinal marijuana.
Yeah.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Pop pills. God don't give you a pass to do that.
Sure,
you know what? Like I said this morning, if more sinners heard the law of God preaching its rightful order, amen, they might get under conviction.
Good, brother.
They might get under old time conviction. God says, thou shalt not covet.
Right.
Thou shalt not bear false witness. You know what the law shows us? The law shows us we fail in every point of the law.
Yes, sir. That's right, brother.
The Bible says if you've broken one, you've broken it all.
All of it. That's right, brother.
But we glory. Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that. Yeah. No, but your heart's wicked.
Self-righteous.
It's filthy. Full of lust and covetousness. Now, my coveting may not be like yours, amen. My coveting might be like a nice lynch box. But some of them calls down there had a good sound last night, amen. I was cutting with them. Amen. But listen, God don't give you a right or me a right to commit sin. What's holding you up from having revival? What's holding you up from getting right with God? It's your sins! It's your sins! It's your sins! Sin's the problem.
Yes, sir.
Sin separates you from God's communion and fellowship. Seems like the word picture to me in this text, amen, is that our sins has rose up like a great cloud and we can't see the face of God. It's your sins that have separated between you and your God. When are you going to come clean with your sins? I said, Bubba, when are you going to come clean that you're a porn head? These secret sins are killing us.
Right.
It's killing our churches.
That's right. It is, brother.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
And it's breaking out.
Yes, sir.
It's breaking out in our church. You can only cover it for so long. And it's going to break out somewhere. An individual I know has left the confines of what God has ordained to be her guard. I'm not throwing off, but that was in her heart long ago. But that just didn't happen. She just didn't leave the home. That was in her heart.
That's right, brother.
What's in your heart?
Yes, sir. Help us.
What's in your heart that manifests itself? Lust? Adulteries? Fornications? Just because the government says it's okay, amen, to go out and commit all these adulteries, it don't make it so. God's still against it. And if you suffer some of these things in the heartache of divorce and God's forgiven you, I've forgiven you.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. We need to preach hard in this day to these young people that when you say, I do, you did.
That's right.
That's for a lifetime.
Yes, sir. That's right, brother.
God, so ask God to help you to choose wisely.
That's right.
Amen. Sins and iniquities. Achan tried to hide his sin. He went and hid that wedge, those garments. In his tent. Thought he had it hid. But he caused several men of Israel to lose their lives. And it destroyed his whole family. What do you got hid in your tent? What's hid in your tent tonight? If you'll read that passage of scripture, Joshua got all the children of Israel and give them an opportunity to confess. But Achan didn't say, I have sinned. I've hid it in my tent. Here it is. He dissembled. What have you got hid in your tent tonight? What's hid in your heart? In the deepest recesses of your heart, what's in there? Hatred, variance, malice, contentions, strife. can't get a hold of God. I wonder why. Your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Yes, sir.
It hurts to get hurt in church. But somehow you got to get over that. Or that bitterness will eat you up like a canker. It'll destroy you. That root of bitterness comes in and not only destroys you, it defiles others.
Sure does, brother.
I know what it is to be disappointed. Church work and the work of the Lord. I know what it is to be disappointed in family. And I also know what it does in your own heart. It's evident whether you're right with God or not. And you can't serve the Lord, and you can't pray, and you can't preach, and you can't teach, and you can't sing, and you can't minister, because that iniquity, that law, is always there. The sad thing about it is a lot of people don't even know it.
Right. Man, you're right. Yes, sir.
And a lot of church people have no discernment, and they don't even know it.
Right.
We're going to have revival, then we must deal with the sinful problem. The sinful problem. I want to say this. Self-righteousness can never please God. Israel was very self-righteous. I dealt in chapter 1 of Isaiah this morning. They probably said to God, what's the problem? We're still going through the motions. We're still offering sacrifices. But he says, I hate your solemn assemblies. I hate them. I wonder if God's pleased with what we're doing. Look in verse number 3 of Isaiah 58:59. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. So they were very self-righteous. They boasted of their outward display of fasting. But outward display can never take the place of inward brokenness.
Right.
Outward display can never take the place of inward brokenness. God must break us inwardly, break our hearts, break our spirit. That's what a contrite heart is, a crushed heart.
That's right.
Thank God. Where is that at? Where's the hammer at? Where'd you put the hammer? Where's it at? Amen.
Why, thank God, the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock in peace.
You know, a lot of times we come to meetings, amen, and our hearts are hardened. We've got an old stony heart. But God can take that Word of God. Buddy, he begins to work, and he begins to break, and begins to crack, and begins to crush. Amen. And the sad thing of it is, Brother Maury, whether you have an 8-day meeting, 2-week meeting, I've been in years gone past, month-long meetings, it seems like about every time, the ending service, amen, things are about to break.
That's right.
Because
that's
people's right. hearts are just yes, then getting soft enough
yes,
to receive the Word of God, and it's time to end the meeting. But thank God for the Word of God. You say, what are you going to do? Just keep using the hammer of the Word of God, because it's what breaks the rock in pieces.
That's right.
Some of your hearts are hard. Got hard hearts. Bible likens it's likened to a damaged stone. what fallow ground is, but it's soil that's been impacted and pressed down. And God will use that word of God to plow through that soil.
Yep, that's
it's
right.
been untilled.
Yep.
It's been unfallowed, amen. And listen, friend, God used that word of God to plow through your heart, the utter recesses of your heart.
Yes, Lord. God help us.
To plow up that sin. You plow up sins, amen, and bring them to the forefront in your life. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. What we usually try to do, amen, we try to put on a cloak or a guise of self-righteousness.
Right.
Well, I'm better than him.
That's right.
Amen. I'm better than her. We look down our nose at others, amen. And won't let God put the spotlight on our hearts and our lives. Amen. The sinful problem. Salvation's power. Notice the sovereign punishment. In verses 17 and 18 of our text, God said he was going to deal with them. For he had put on righteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation upon his head, and put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. In other words, God gave them exactly what they deserve.
That's right.
God's going to reward you according to what you're doing.
God helps.
And by the way, he's the judge. I'm not the judge.
That's right.
Amen. You know why I'm thankful about that, dear brother? Because many times I'm not one bit, Nathan, I'm not one bit merciful.
That's
right. Yeah,
that's right.
That's good,
brother.
Yes, sir.
But he is.
Yes, sir.
He's merciful.
That's right, brother. He sure is.
He's not rewarded us according to our sins or according to our iniquities. But he will repay. He's the one that's worthy to render judgment and punishment. And the judgment will be issued by the Lord Jesus himself. At the times of this ignorance, according to Acts 17 verse 30, at the times of this ignorance, God once winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. For God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by righteousness, by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. He's the judge. And the same Lord Jesus that you rejected, one day he's going to set in judgment of you. And the same Bible that you rejected,
right,
one day he's going to set in judgment.
That's right.
He's going to open those books up.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to open this Bible up and judge you and going to say, why didn't you do this?
That's right. Sure will, brother. God help us.
God ain't, listen, folks, I'm not trying to be mean, but God ain't playing.
That's right.
Right. Sure ain't.
God ain't playing.
Take it lightly.
One day when those books are opened up, amen, he's going to ask you to give an account for what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Good, brother.
Savior of all the world. Died for you. And loved you.
Yes, thank you.
And cared about you. And yet you've spurned him. Rejected him. I'll tell you how wicked you are, amen. I'll tell you how wicked men are. If they had a chance, which this will never happen, you said, what if Jesus come down again? I'll tell you what they do. I'll tell you what we do.
Richard, brother.
We'd try to drag him down.
Sure would.
We'd try to crucify him again because we're haters of God.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. And you sit smug in your sin, in your self-righteousness, and how good you think you are. God says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. It takes spiritual understanding to understand the things of God.
Sure does, brother. Sure does.
There's none that seeketh after God. Underline that in your mind. There's none that seeketh after God. Well, I'm seeking after God. I tell you, you can only seek for Him through the Scriptures.
Amen.
And scripturally. If you're not careful, you'll make that a work.
That's right.
Oh, yes, sir. Exactly right, brother.
How do you like those apples?
Yes, preach it, brother. Exactly.
You're going to make that a work.
Yes, sir.
And when you get to the end of that, you're still not going to be saved.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Brother Rose, you're mean. I'm not mean.
I preach it. You're good, brother.
I'm truthful.
That's right.
If God the Holy Ghost has showed you you're lost,
help him,
then you say, what do I need to do, Brother Rose? Repent!
Yes.
Flee for refuge! Believe the gospel, amen!
Yes, sir. Yeah, flee.
I'm waiting for the moment to be right, amen. Well, then what more do you need? If God has showed you your condition, that you're lost.
That's right, brother. That's
well,
right.
Well, I'll pack up and go back home. Amen. Suit yourself. Amen.
Yep.
I'm not being mean. I didn't ask you to come.
That's right. Exactly right.
I was in one meeting years ago, over 20 years ago. Amen. And I thought it was going to end up being me and the pastor before it was over with. Amen. They's peeling out worse than bananas. Amen. I just kept hammering away with the Word of God. I was giving them what God told me to tell them. Amen.
Right.
And I tell you what, thank God, hey, the truth will be what will help you. The truth will be what will be able to set you at liberty. Amen. The truth, amen, hallelujah.
Yeah.
It won't. It may cut you like the Word of God. It's sharp and piercing even the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. But thank God, if you'll let the truth have its way in your life, it can not only cut, but it can heal.
Heal it, brother. That's right.
Sure thing.
Try always remember, amen, give sinners a way out. Tried to do that. I want to give sinners hope. There's hope in Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I wanted to talk about this morning, amen, but we didn't get to talk about it. Thank God, there's not only a sinful problem, and God's hand's not shortened and it cannot save. And there's sovereign punishment, but thank God there's a sure part.
Yeah.
You better believe it's sure.
Right.
Oh, Brother Rose, you can't be that sure about it. Oh, I know, it happened to me.
That's right, brother.
It happened to me. As a 19-year-old sinner, amen, God got a hold of my heart and showed me I was lost according to the Bible. And I'm glad in my heart. Now, you talk about invitations, amen. After that preacher preached, they didn't give no invitation. But I was in bad enough shape, I didn't need one.
That's right. You're exactly right. Yes,
he closed in prayer and I closed praying. Amen. And I talked to the Lord and I agreed with God about everything He said about me. Amen. I said, yes, Lord, you're right. Amen. And listen, I got right with God that day and God gave me a new heart.
Yeah, amen.
Yep.
Changed my life.
That's right.
I started believing then and I've been believing ever since.
Amen.
Yeah, I've been believing ever since. I started repenting then, and I've been repenting ever since.
Ever since.
I'm not talking about getting saved over and over again.
No.
You know better than that. You have to explain yourself, amen. But I've had that attitude of repentance ever since.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
If you can just be comfortable in your sin and never convicted and never chastised and there's no change, according to this Bible, there's no salvation.
That's right. Exactly right, brother.
Amen.
That's right. Preach it, brother.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Yes, sir.
Sure pardon. Look in verse number 20 of our text. Hallelujah. What's separating between you and your God? Your sins and iniquities. But notice in verse number 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon me, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. The sure pardon involves a redeemer. The answer to the sinful separation is the Redeemer. It's the Savior. Thank God for the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto our own way. And the Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. By the way, it's your way that's the problem.
Yes, sir. Yep.
I'll tell you why some people don't get saved. They won't get out of their way.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You don't come on your terms. You come on His terms.
Exactly right.
That's the reason you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're laying down the weapons of your warfare.
Yes,
right. You don't come with your artillery.
That's right.
You surrender to Him.
Yes, sir.
Unconditionally.
Unconditional surrender.
Amen. Said, though your sins be as scarlet, the text we read from this morning, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They didn't have dyes like we know them today. The dyeing process. I was with a pastor here just last Sunday and preached to him, and he's, well, including him, six people, was glad to do it. I've known him for many years. He's let me preach for him. I'd be lower in a sow's belly, amen, when the church is low, not to go minister
right,
to that church.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
And that brother has given me opportunity, and I went and preached, and he said, Brother Rose, I want to show you this process. He's, some of you probably know about it, stabilizing wood, selling wood handles to the place down in Gatlinburg, amen. The guy that makes knives. And he takes that process, it looks like kind of like a cooker there. And what it does, it forces all the air out of the wood, and then it sucks the what's called beetle juice, it's a dye, up through that wood. And man, it makes it, you probably know about it, brother, amen.
Yes, sir.
You would think it's plastic when it gets stabilized once it's baked, amen, but it's wood. Stabilize that wood, but that juice or that dye goes through, and especially like with maple, wormy maple, and different woods, it is affected differently. It makes beautiful colors in that wood. But back then, amen, what they would do, they'd use certain worms and bugs, and they would crush them up with a pestle, and they would crush them and make those dyes. And the dye, amen, referred to here, this garment was probably double dyed. And no fuller, it was very difficult to wash out that dye. Thank God.
Yeah. Yes.
Our sins are black.
Yes. That's right.
Our sins are filthy.
Hallelujah.
Our sins are dirty. And by the way, you might be saying, well, oh, you're talking about her sins or his sins. All of our sins are filthy.
That's right, brother.
That's what's separating between you and God.
Yes,
your filthy, vile sins.
Yes, help.
Pop off that lid. I'm not trying to be grotesque. But you pop off that lid of that septic tank. And our sins are about like a septic tank.
Right.
Every one of us. Some may think we're more righteous than the other. But when God looks at it, it's putrid and filthy. Needless to say, we use it overwork. Field beds and leach beds that some of you larger families know about. We give them, we work them over, amen. And I told my wife last time they come to deal with the septic tank. I said, tell them to quit leaving all that mess in the yard. Clean up their mess. I ain't interested in walking through that mess, amen. I'm paying them, what, $250 to pump it, amen. Keep your mess out of my yard. Hose it down. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen.
Amen.
They knew no process at that time, and most fullers would not touch that double dying process. But he says, though your sins, they take those bugs and crush them with that pestle, they dye those garments with those bugs. It was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, though your skin, though those garments be like scarlet, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ can make them as white as snow. Son, only God can do that. I don't know you. You don't even know me. You come trusting these people or this pastor to come hear me preach that I was a preacher of the gospel. But I don't care what you've been involved in and what may be belched out of the utter recesses of your heart. If God the Holy Ghost can get in the arrangements, and though you may be double dyed with sin, God can take the precious blood of Jesus. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. There is none other.
That's right. That's right, brother.
And I want to say again, he died in your place. Not because he had sins. He died as a sinner, but he died for sinners.
That's right.
You know what he died for? My sins.
That's right. Right, sir.
Your sins.
Sure did, brother.
And he died a sinner's death. He became a curse. Brother Tim and I was kind of talking about that. I said, man, that'd make a good message. He cursed the ground. He cursed all kinds of things in Genesis. And then Jesus became a curse because Jesus, the Bible said he was hung on a tree. And the Bible says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. He became a curse for us. Some of you, the only thing holding you back is your own foolish pride. You don't sort salvation out with your own human reasoning.
That's right. That's right, brother. Sure don't.
You don't do that. The Bible even says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And some of you sit back there, and you're very much probably more intellectual than me or even the pastor, but you're sorting this all out in your mind. And you die, and you're going to end up in hell. You need to come to the Redeemer tonight.
That's right.
You need to come to Christ. And thank God, there'll be a not only the Redeemer and the redemption, but there'll be a reconciliation. See, sin has separated you or us from God. But reconciliation can only be made through the finished work of Christ. We need to be reconciled to God. And the only way we can be reconciled to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's good, brother. Yep.
As long as you stay in sin, sin stays a stigma in your life. There's going to be a wall of separation there. But if you come to Christ by faith, thank God. He'll be your Lord, He'll be your Savior. And you can be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. How about it, saints of God? Really, like I said before, the key is with you. I don't know how many people here tonight are truly born again of the Spirit of God. But if you are, if you're not willing to get right with God and one another, then you can't expect God to do a work of revival in your heart.
Sure can. Nope.
We call it revival efforts. But truly revival is for the saints. Sinners need to be redeemed. But many times, the saints of God will not do anything about the roadblocks in their own life. See, I've been in meetings, sir. I'm so glad you came. I've been in meetings, amen, where the saints of God got up in public and confessed. But he broke things open in me. They got right with God and they got right with one another. But if we're harboring things in our own lives that we're not willing to get lay aside and repent of, it'll be a hindrance to the meeting.
Right.
How long has it been since you repented in the presence of God?
Right.
Do you ever come to an altar? Of you probably never come to an altar. And I don't know how they conduct invitations here and stuff like that. Some of you never find the need to come to an altar or go anywhere to pray. Maybe if he's not your father. Amen? I want to be right with God. I want to have communion with Him. But you're not going to have communion with God with the sins and the iniquities in the way.
Right.
Old time hymn says, kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. We need to have a call to Calvary. Saints and sinners alike. We get far from the cross sometimes. Come to me that you might have life, and you will not come to me. Salvation's in a person, friend.
Right.
It's not in your thinking and your plan and your theology. Salvation's in a person. When you get saved, you'll know it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir.
You'll know it. And you'll aggravate everybody else about it. When my mom got right with God, amen, years ago, when she got right with God, amen, religious people, you understand what I'm saying? They hated her. She always talked about Jesus all the time. And most people, all they got is a front. Today, it's Jesus Day. It's Sunday. And the rest of the week, amen, they live for the devil. Something's wrong with that.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
That's right, amen.
How do you stand with God? Is your soul saved?
Psalm 78, verse 40 says this. It says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness?
Right.
And grieve him in the desert. Yea, they turned back.
Yes.
And tempted God. And limited.
Right.
The Holy One of Israel.
That's right.
See it.
There's only one person can limit the Holy One of Israel for you. That's you.
Amen.
Exactly right, brother.
The scary part. Especially in the life of a child of God. If you're limiting the work of God, it's not just effective.
That's it.
It's a grievous thing over the years as a pastor. Individuals, and some of them I believe true children of God, they have burdens for lost family members, children, spouses, parents, neighbors, friends. Don't realize the biggest hindrance to the work of God and those that they love so dearly, they themselves.
Right.
See, the time again. The pastor that's ever stood in the pulpit for any length of time sees the same story repeated over and over. You know why he recognizes it so clearly? Because he recognizes it in himself. He realizes some of the biggest hindrances his church has ever experienced have been a man that stands behind the pulpit. Because I limit God.
Yeah. Lord, help us. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord.
I don't know tonight where anybody stands here tonight, but I just praise God we were under this.
Amen. Pavilion. Hallelujah.
I thank God for the ministry of his word.
Amen.
Not going to be redundant in this. I'm not going to keep hammering this away as the week progresses, but I trust that Brother Rose's personality and mannerisms don't be a hindrance to you because of the problems with you, not with him. I had Brother Rick Rose in here to be Brother Rick Rose. You know, one of the things I've discovered over the years that I find interesting is my father, who I highly respect, is the complete opposite of this man. He's about as low-key as you possibly could be. People find fault with him as well.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is not the man.
That's right.
It's ministry of the Word of God. Yeah, people stand against.
That's right.
And I just thank God for the ministry of his Word tonight. Trying to be discerning tonight. Mm-hmm. Trying to be discerning.
Yes.
He's trying to be discerning. Cole, why don't you come tonight? We don't often have an invitation time as such, and I'm not going to call this an invitation time as such, but you know what? We have pavilions, we have places people can pray.
Our hearts and lives.
Not all in your